It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now, a growing number of the nation's top-ranked law schools are boycotting the annual rankings of the best law schools by U.S. News & World Report. And some elite medical schools are also following suit, deciding not to submit data for the rankings. Call in about U.S. News rankings as a tool and how you view them. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dan Tokaji is a professor and dean of the University of Wisconsin Law School. Dan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
Good morning. So the UW Law School opting out of this year's U.S. News rankings for law schools. Take us into this decision and why you made it.
Sure. Well, we're one of 36 law schools, could be a few more now, but at the time of our decision, 36 law schools that have decided not to participate in this year's U.S. News survey. And the fundamental problem with the U.S. News ranking from our perspective at the University of Wisconsin Law School is that it does not align with our values. At Wisconsin, we're committed to providing a world-class education and doing so affordably so that students aren't saddled with huge debt when they graduate, which would really limit their career choices. That's not, unfortunately, what U.S. News values. Historically, they've put a high priority on how much you spend and median LSAT and GPA. These are useful tools, but to incentivize schools to focus on them, particularly when they award scholarship money, we think is unhealthy for legal education as a whole. So stepping away from the U.S. News survey is a way for us at Wisconsin to focus on what's really most important to us, that is providing a first-rate education at an affordable price.
So, you know, they have a right to rank schools. You have a right not to participate. So what does that mean for these rankings? Because they have such an outside influence, you know, outsized influence on people as they look at the integrity of these schools.
That's right. The U.S. News ranking in particular, and that's especially true for law schools, really does have outsized influence. And look, I think the most healthy thing to come away from this, from all the law schools that have now bailed out of the U.S. News survey, is that it will not eliminate but weaken the force that this U.S. News ranking has in law students or prospective law students who are trying to decide what's the best fit for them. And I think the big message is that the U.S. News ranking is not a very reliable source of information. So much of it is based on median, LSAT, and GPA, as well as peer and lawyer judge reputation surveys that go out to lawyers and judges, a scattered few throughout the country, most of whom really don't know very much about the law schools that they're ranking. From our perspective, it would really be best to focus on affordability, on what kind of educational opportunities are you really offering to your students. For example, at Wisconsin, we offer fantastic experiential learning opportunities for students to represent real live clients in real cases. And that's not something that's taken into consideration in the rankings. And you know, we also want to make sure that our law school, especially as the state's flagship public law school, remains open to everyone, and that we're providing a pathway to the legal profession to people from all sorts of backgrounds, not just for more affluent students. It's really important for us to provide access to people from rural and urban areas, regardless of how wealthy their family is. And that's not really something that's valued by the U.S. News ranking either.
What do you think of the U.S. News ranking response in response to this, to these boycotts and the backlash? I mean, they've changed, revamped their criteria. They're looking at more, putting more weight on lower wage public service jobs, no longer considering indicators of like student debt in the rankings. What would lure you back?
Yeah, I think that they're not really doing a whole lot on the public service, public interest front, which is really important to us. At Wisconsin, about 43% of our graduating class goes into governmental jobs or jobs in the nonprofit sector. And the changes they made really don't take that into consideration at all. They made one change that I think is favorable, so I want to give them some credit for that, which is to eliminate a really pernicious aspect of the ranking, expenditures per student, basically how much money you're spending. Well, where does that money come from? For the most part, it comes from students in the form of higher tuition. So that was really unfortunate, was a factor in driving tuitions up. Unfortunately, they've gotten rid of something that we think was really constructive, and that is considering lost students' debt upon graduation. This is a metric in which Wisconsin does especially well. Our average debt is $48,000, which may sound like a lot, but at a lot of other law schools, it's well over $100,000, which really limits career choices. Unfortunately, U.S. News has taken that debt metric out entirely of this year's ranking, and that was certainly a contributing factor to our decision to withdraw.
Do you foresee a future where you would participate in these rankings?
I think we would certainly be open to that possibility if U.S. News were willing to make some changes that better aligned with our values, and in particular, that took into consideration the necessity of our providing a pathway into the legal profession for people of all backgrounds and not just the most wealthy and affluent. That's really important to us at Wisconsin, and it's essential to our mission as a public university. So if U.S. News were to put more value on access and affordability, I think that's something that would certainly be a consideration in deciding whether to opt back into the U.S. News survey at some point in the future.
Dan Tokaji with us, Dean of the UW Law School, as we look at the challenges of how to prepare students for a career in law, what the rankings mean. Call in with your questions, your experiences about the legal profession, your law degree, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss the headwinds in preparing law school students for the workforce, especially efforts to advance more equitable outcomes and ways to promote diversity throughout the profession. Call in with your story, your questions about a career in law, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dan Tokaji is dean of the UW Law School, stays with us. Dan, the State Bar of Wisconsin calling the shortage of public defenders and prosecutors statewide a constitutional crisis, with UW-Madison and Marquette offering the state's only law schools. How is your law school preparing students to graduate into this strained workforce?
Well, it is a problem that prosecutors as well as public defenders are paid so little. There is a significant problem throughout the country, but it's especially bad in Wisconsin with finding people to fill these really important jobs. We have an important role to play in preparing students to pursue all sorts of careers, whether it's in business or law firms or the nonprofit sector, as well as in the public sector. And that certainly includes people who are working in the criminal justice system as prosecutors or defense attorneys. It's really hard work, but it's essential work. As a law school, what we at University of Wisconsin have really tried to do is to keep our levels of tuition and, most importantly, student debt at manageable levels so that our students are able to pursue whatever career path they choose. And they don't necessarily have to choose the place that's paying them or offering to pay them top dollar. And so, you know, that's what I think we can do as a law school to try to make careers in public interest and public service.
And I want to,
prosecutors. Go ahead.
I want to jump in here because when you cited the statistic of 43% of UW Law School grads last year going into public service or public interest jobs last year, is that enough? Are you satisfied with that outcome, with that percentage?
You know, I guess I would say this. I am proud of that percentage, that we have so many of our students who choose to pursue paths in public service and public interest. One of the things that we put in our most recent strategic plan that we adopted a couple of years ago is that we want our graduates at University of Wisconsin Law School to, of course, be free to pursue whatever career path they choose, but especially to be prepared not only to be great lawyers, but change agents, people who are working to advance justice. So, you know, I want to emphasize that the career path that students choose is ultimately up to them. We want to prepare them for all sorts of different careers. But yeah, I'm very proud of the fact that so many of our students go into public interest and public service work.
You mentioned pay and the issues there. Starting pay for Wisconsin's assistant DAs is less than $57,000 a year. We know the debt you've talked about of law school grads, less in Wisconsin, more in other law schools, perhaps around the country. What is your message to state lawmakers as they try to address the shortage of attorneys in Wisconsin?
Well, I want to be very careful in my capacity as dean of the law school not to get involved in particular fights over particular pieces of legislation. But it is really important that people in these vital jobs as prosecutors, as well as public defenders, be paid a decent wage that will allow them to raise a family, have a home for themselves, be able to save money, to send their children to college, all the things that all of us, I think, would like to do. And it's really tough to do that for this really important work at the relatively low rates that people are paid to serve as prosecutors and public defenders, especially here in Wisconsin.
What is a fair wage? What is a decent wage?
I'm going to leave that to policymakers as well as, you know, the state bar and those groups that are advocating on behalf of state prosecutors and defenders to decide what exactly is an appropriate rate. That's not really my call to make, but I do think something that's more than what they're being paid right now. And what I can say from our perspective is it can be tough to take these jobs and be able to pay back your educational loans at the low rates that they're paying right now.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, many moons ago, decades ago, my roommate was a Philadelphia public defender and worked night and day, like literally around the clock for their clients in multiple languages and just yeoman's work. But the sentiment there, at least in Philly, was, you did your time as a public defender and you got your pick of private law firms. I mean, you could really take that anywhere. Is that sentiment still true?
I certainly think there's some truth to it. I mean, my perspective is, and I've had a lot of students who've gone to work for prosecutor's offices or public defender offices over the 20 years now that I've been in law school teaching. Some of them stay in those jobs for their entire careers. Some of them move on. But I really don't think that there's any way for someone who's interested in becoming a trial lawyer. You know, that's what I think the general public thinks when they think of lawyers. Lawyers do all sorts of different work. But what most people probably envision is someone standing up in court, cross-examining witnesses, and making opening and closing statements before judge and jury.
What we see on TV.
That kind of work, I don't think there's any better place to do it than a prosecutor's or public defender's office.
Talking with Dan Tokaji, professor of law and dean of UW-Madison's Law School. You can join in along the way, 800-642-1234. I want to just ask you about not taking the bar. You've worried that the American Bar Association's push to eliminate the law school admissions test would harm diversity in admissions, and supporters of the change say it would give law schools more flexibility in their admissions. What is your response to that?
Yeah, I think that's fool's gold. And, you know, the AB House of Delegates, by a voice vote earlier this week, voted not to change that ABA standard. Look, I pointed out earlier that it is unhealthy to focus overly much on mean or median LSATs or GPAs in law schools making decisions, as the US News ranking incentivizes law schools to do. But I do think that these are really valuable tools, and I'm quite worried about a potential race to the bottom if this ABA standard is eliminated, that there's going to be a strong incentive, because all law schools want to increase their applications, to simply eliminate the LSAT or any other standardized test as a requirement. And what I'm worried about in particular is that's ultimately going to hurt our diversity, including not only racial diversity, but socioeconomic background, because there are a lot of people who don't have a great GPA, but actually have the capacity to succeed and thrive as lawyers. And the LSAT can be a very useful tool in identifying those students and admitting them to law school. You know, I mean, certainly there are racial and other disparities in the LSAT and other standardized tests, but we'd be naive to think those disparities don't also exist in GPA and the other criteria that might replace the LSAT if it's eliminated.
Dan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate.
Dan Tokaji is a professor and dean of the UW Law School. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.